The Prentice Alton Heating and Air Coach's Corner from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and GoPrimeTimeSports.com.
And we are back here with the coach's conversation continuing as we roll along here on a snowy Saturday. Do you consider this a wasted snow as an educator, Chad Hibden?
Well, since Eli is running around, not a wasted snow because he absolutely loved it this morning.
Is that right?
Yeah, he loved it. He was in awe.
I guess that was the first big snow for him, huh?
It was. Well, yes and no. Here at home, he has been to Colorado.
Oh, okay.
So that was a big snow.
Likes the snow, huh?
Yes.
Well, that's always pretty special. Even my kids, 13 and 10, love the snow. They were up early.
It still brings out the inner kid in all of us.
Yeah.
Just seeing that and reminiscing on the days of playing in it.
It does create problems. I think educators may like it, but as a basketball coach, it's kind of the worst thing that could happen, because when you have to cancel games and move games around, especially this time of the year, it could be bad.
It is. I think the key word there is routine. We want to stay in routine. I think every coach talks about it, and, you know, it's just good for your kids. And, you know, like last night, you know, you just wonder how, you know, being out of school in that situation, you know, how your kids are going to respond without the normal routine. You know, the crowd was a little late arriving, but about, you know, by halftime, I believe, it was pretty packed, and the atmosphere was great. And you know, our student body showed up and was loud, and I think really encouraged us late in the game.
It was a little different in terms of everything, and John actually mentioned this on the air last night, how will this affect play? And I think it did, really, your team and Oakland's team. It was a very different kind of ball game last
night.
Was
I think the most important thing, I think both teams played, you know, physical. Mm-hmm. And you know, we kind of started that and got off to a nice little run, and then they responded and got physical, and you know, the game just continued to be physical throughout. And then, you know, late, I think we settled down instead of just kind of, you know, two teams just battling. We kind of settled down and had good spacing on offense and in our transition game. And you know, I thought we continued to play physical, but we really settled down with our mind and slowed the game down mentally, but still had that physical pace going.
One thing that when the offense isn't necessarily going your way, and there was a drought of about 14 minutes where you didn't have a field goal in there, one thing John mentioned during that time on the air was that, you know, defense never stops. And that's what keeps you in games and keeps things close. And I really thought your defense last night did not have a tough time. They really played very well.
We did. And, you know us, and it's kind of been our thing for a while. You can bring that every night. You know,
yeah.
You can bring your character, and you can bring your defense, and you can bring your rebounding, and we pride ourselves on that. And sometimes, you know, teams are really good defensively, and they're going to take you out of what you do, or, you know, things just aren't going well. You know, you can kind of get in a funk, or if an offensive player gets in foul trouble, that's a key or something like that. And that's how we, you know, just assess our team, to break it down to them to say, look, you know, this is what's going to keep us in every game. And then we'll find a way to win, value the basketball, however the game's being played, whatever your opponent's doing. You know, we'll figure that out, and you just kind of, you know, grind it out for us a little bit offensively. You know, we like to play fast. When we talk about grinding it out, we still like to play fast. We don't like to be in a hurry and things like that, but that still can be a grind it out where you're taking high-quality shots, and we just took some really, really quick shots in that 10 or 12, 14-minute span there. And as we continue to try to settle our kids down, it just took them a lot longer than we hoped for. But finally, they did. And once they settled down and understand what we wanted to try to get, then things started going a little easier for us.
Sometimes during a time like that, though, Chad, even the easier shots, even the layups sometimes just won't fall for you, and it can get frustrating. And I guess that's where it comes down to you as a coach to kind of settle things down and maybe play a little different, run a different play or something like that.
Yeah, we talked about it at halftime, and we talked about it after the game. You know, we talked about stacking stops on offense or on defense, and then, you know, we also said on offense, you know, at some point in time, you know, when they are stacking stops against us, we've got to really, really focus on, you know, settling down, executing a set, offensive rebounding, and it does. You know, you go two or three, and they have good possessions, and then, you know, it gets in their head, and, you know, maybe you get an opportunity for an easy basket inside or an open three or something, then you rush it, and you're trying to make the shot instead of just being in your normal, you know, shot preparation or score preparation, and it does. It rushes them. I think it's what it does for our kids anyway. It rushes them sometimes when we offensively go on a little drought or the defense is switching or changing or trapping and things like that.
45-37, the victory at home for the Lady Blaze over Oakland. And to me, the game kind of had a sense of a tournament feel to it, you know, just because of the way it was played. And it was like, you know, everything's on the line. To me, that had to be very good for your girls to go through that, because you do have a pretty young team in terms of that type of experience.
Oh, vital. And we hit on it a little bit after the game. We'll definitely address it as we get prepared for this upcoming week, and just let them know, you know, that right there is very similar how things are going to be played, and you know, build on the strengths, build on the weaknesses to try to adjust those things to get better at. But it was, it absolutely felt, and you know, it was a really exciting basketball game for me. You know, some areas that we didn't, you know, do so well, but just the energy and being in that environment, and both teams, you know, really playing with something on the line, you know, and it really just come down to competition last night. But because of that competition, you know, it had that feel, and our staff and our players were excited, and you know, it was fun. It was flat out fun. I know at the end of the game, you know, I called a timeout, you know, inside a minute or so, and I, you know, kind of just had some emotions there and told the official, I said, man, this is fun, you know, this is fun. And it was, and it was fun for our kids to be exposed to that. It'll really help our younger kids.
Well, the fact that every basketball game you have to go through some adversity, you know, and last night's adversity maybe was a little different than you've experienced lately. I know Micah had a little foul trouble last night. Other people have to step up and step into those roles. I mean, it can only help you down the road, and the fact that you got to win is even better.
It is, and when you can try to survive and do that. Now, Alex has had one of those games in the last week or so. Crystal's had one of those games, and now Micah has had one of those games, our three key offensive players, you know, and actually Jazz has had a couple of those games throughout the year where, you know, things didn't go real well, some early fouls. And so now we feel that we can address all those individuals that, hey, look, you know, somebody else has to step up. We've talked about that. If those situations occur, how does that individual handle the situation? How do you get back in the game and still play without being hesitant? How does the next player up step up and provide? And those are the events. And I think last night was a perfect example, because we talked about it, you know, prior to the game in our shoot around, that you never know when any individual is going to make an impact. And I thought Amanda Pollock's impact on the game last night was huge and crucial. I think her intensity and her poise all through the night was big. And then she had a great opportunity after we ran a set and got a nice basket from Dangerfield to Morgan Miller. She kind of floated down and made an anticipation play and got a steal on the inbounds play right back to Angel Allen, who got an and one. And I thought that play and her poise as a senior and her intensity, and really she was a key in selling our young players down last night, really was a big-time starter for us to making a run in the fourth quarter.
Chad Hibden joining us as we talk about the Lady Blaze of Blackman High School today. And, you know, that there are just some things that you can't teach. And that has to be the hardest in terms of trying to sell a kid on tonight may be your night. You know, especially if they haven't had as many opportunities or they don't get as much playing time, because you went down. I thought Morgan Miller played some very valuable minutes for you last night and had to.
She did. She really did. And she, her and Amanda all year long, as two seniors that have played all year long, and now Kennedy Killens is back. That's our three seniors. They have embraced senior leadership, senior roles. They understand that, hey, here's what I'm supposed to do. And truly, they know that they're not one or two or three options offensively, but they know their part, and they do their part very well. They step up in the right times. When people are not focusing on them, they know when to do what we're trying to get them to do, whether it's a screener, a rebounder, or knock down a three for Amanda. or Morgan, and Morgan does a great job defensively, being physical around the basket. And those two, and now with Kennedy being back the last couple of weeks, she adds that defense, you know, another Micah Norris-type, intensity-type defender, and that's really going to help us late. And we're so blessed to have those three seniors that just care about the team. You know, and they understand some of the younger ones might be getting more accolades and some, you know, prep, you know, post notes and things like that. But for them to just say, hey, it's about we and not about me, is really why we're being an effective team this year.
Well, I mean, it can go one of two ways, and the other way is not going to be beneficial for the team and not really beneficial for that young person either. And, you know, when you're a senior and you've played as a junior and your mind can do all kinds of things. I mean, we're talking about teenagers here. They have to have a pretty strong head about them.
They do, and it's, you know, we've had, you know, other situations, and I think everybody has those. And when you have those, you know, you cherish on them, you praise those things, so that the next go around and you use those as examples, you know, in the following years. Hey, this group right here, this is, you know, this season was special because, mm-hmm. you know, maybe not because of the names you know, but because of the names that were there. You know, we use a story about LaDonna Bailey. Quite often in our program, you know the name, probably hardly anybody else does, but you know the way she carried herself and got an opportunity late in her senior year to play minimal minutes but hit a big shot at Lawrence County that propelled us to our first state tournament. And so we use those moments in our program of those players that were team-oriented, they bought in, they believed, and they were willing to sacrifice.
You know, my young son is playing some basketball, and you know, I try to tell him, said the fact that you have a jersey and you're out there on the bench, you're a part of a team, you know, and you have to embrace whatever that part of the team is. If the coach asks you to go get a water bottle, then you're part of that team because it's a vital part right there, right then. And, you know, you have to kind of work your way through a program and everything, but just to be part of a team and to have a jersey and represent your school is a, I mean, how many kids walk in the hallways don't have that opportunity?
Oh, there's so many people be willing to be in their shoes, yeah. and have a piece of whatever that is. The thing that we talk about is, you know, you all have a talent, and it's a mesh talent, it's a collective talent, and there's different things, and everybody's time and everybody's situation will change, and sometimes you got to wait your time and wait it out, but our kids, this is one of the best groups we've had at being, you know, full of team unity, full of understanding roles, and I think it's really helped us, especially as a young team. When you have a young team, if some of that isn't, you know, there, you can have your struggles. And, you know, we've had our challenges and stuff like that, but we haven't had any struggles there.
I kind of talked to Corey about this a little bit earlier. You know, even the, not the players, from the assistant coaches to the managers to the trainers, everybody is part of the basketball team and a crucial part, because this time of the year you've got more dings and dents and bumps and bruises, and it takes longer to tape up and things of that nature, and that person is as important as anybody.
Yeah. We simply say do your role.
Yeah.
And that's for me, through our great coaching staff that we have, through our players, through our managers, all that, it's you have a role. If you don't understand it, come ask. We'll let you know. We'll be very truthful to you. And you know, accept your role, but don't settle for your role. You know, you got to continue to build and work on the things that you want to do. And, you know, whether that's an assistant coach, you know, like Jessica Jackson, who has been so, you know, vital to us and such an integral part of what we're doing, as she, you know, builds herself and has aspirations of being a head coach. Well, she's, you know, understands her role now, but she's not going to settle for that, because she's working towards, you know, hopefully one day getting an opportunity to be a head coach. Excuse me, head coach. And we tell the same thing with our players. You know, here's where you are today. Work for something greater tomorrow, but accept it. You know, don't settle for it.
Well, you've got to do the best. You've got to do your job the best and work toward bettering yourself. That's the story of life. That's how you got ahead. That's how you became. I mean, you didn't start out as a head coach at Blackman High School.
No, nobody ever starts. Well, typically you don't start out at that. You kind of have to pay your dues and things like that. And our kids have bought into that, and we're definitely grateful for that.
Chad Hibden joining us this morning. Chad, you've got the Lady Blaze here at 7-1 in the district, 22-1.
I believe that's correct.
Overall. And you see all my scribbles. I try to keep ahead to see all these games kind of run together. But Blackman High School's it's a special year, girls and boys. I saw Gail Vick at the game last night, and she said, you know, snow days are nice and things of that nature, but doesn't mind coming to work, you know, when basketball is going so well. That's kind of the attitude around the hallways at Blackman, isn't it?
It is. And with our boys team, you know, playing so well, the one thing I've said, and I've said it to, you know, people that I've talked to about this group, you know, you always pull, you know, for your school and your team. But there's some teams that, you know, you pull for them and you're like, eh, you know, their chemistry or how they play or something like that. But this group right here, you root for. I'm a big fan just of their demeanor, their work ethic, how intense they are, how they share the ball and those kind of things. And sometimes in boys basketball, you don't get that. I mean,
right.
You know, I was part of boys basketball, you know, for a few years. And, you know, sometimes you don't have that. This is why this group is so special and why they're fun to watch and be a fan of.
It's a special time at Blackman High School, and things are going really well there. As we look ahead to the next week, it's hard to believe, but it seems like the second half of the district schedule has gone so fast. You've got two more district games left, and then it's tournament time, and you end with a pretty tough stretch. You had Oakland last night, Siegel, then Riverdale, and it may come down to that number one seed and the district champion that last game if you can take care of business Tuesday.
You can, and if you look at it like that, you know, I'd probably sleep like a baby. You know, you wake up every couple hours screaming and crying, but, you know, everybody says, cliche, you take one game at a time, because if you look at it as playing those three teams, you know, in that amount of time frame, it could be overwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, but you focus there, and then our next focus obviously is Siegel, and then you move forward. But, you know, we do. We understand where we are. We understand that we control our own destiny right now. We have to go win against Siegel to continue that. And then, you know, it sets us up for a Friday night game. And, you know, just because of the way the district is, we've got all tiebreakers. And so we've got to go compete, you know, through the next two games to control our own destiny. And, you know, you'd end up being tied. But because we control our own destiny with the tiebreaker and own that, you know, puts us in a situation to be the number one seed. And really and truly, that's what you work for. We don't really get there until about now. The second go around in the district, we talked about practice number one. We just kind of forgot everything, and we started with practice number one, and here goes this second round. And so we kind of said, what kind of energy did we have the first day of practice back in November? And so we created that energy again and said, here we go. Here it is, second round, tournament time. You know, a lot of people wait till the tournament. We kind of say, no, this second go around is going to have a tournament feel in some games. So we start from that point. Practice number one, practice number two, game one, game two, and here we are through a stretched out tournament process, and you know, we start thinking about things like that, and we start putting, you know, an objective out there and a goal and something they can seek after.
Well, tournament time is just around the corner, but a lot of work still ahead. You mentioned that tiebreaker thing, and that's because the way this district handles the tiebreakers, you draw numbers during the district meeting, what, back in the spring or something.
Correct.
Like that.
We
and
do.
So you drew the best number of all, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to razz Coach Wartman a little bit. He last year he drew number six. This year we drew number one. So
will you be drawing from now on?
Well, Coach Wartman told me I'm going to be drawing from now on. I, you know, there's no chance or luck or anything in that. It just happens to be, you know, what it is. And we blessed enough to have number one, and if we didn't, it still comes down to playing.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're one through six, everybody gets an opportunity.
I like that idea, because that doesn't leave any question after the game is over or even before the game. I mean, let's say you win, then you have to flip coins and meet later and all this kind of stuff. It just takes all of that away.
It does, because it's, you know, it's all chance, and
yeah.
And you know, by that, you know what you're doing without having to meet and then passing the information on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we created that, because I think there was, you know, some miscommunication somewhere, and things just, you know, not by any kind of, you know, anything done on purpose, but, you know, two or three people meet, well, the other two or three people in the league, you know, aren't there, and, you know, it takes time. And so it's just simple. Let's do it that way, and then, you know, move forward. And, you know, drawing a number is no different than a coin toss to me.
Yeah, well, it's all chance, like you said there. Siegel at Blackman on Tuesday at your place, and then you go to Riverdale on Friday. Blackman at Riverdale. We'll have both of those games this week. Chad, look forward to seeing your ladies playing this week in a couple of games and the tournament right around the corner.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Chad Hibden joining us here from the Cedar Bucket Restaurant, talking about the Lady Blaze. They are 22-1 on the year, 7 1-1 in District 7 AAA play and ranked third in the state of Tennessee. We'll be right back and continue the conversation here in just a moment as we have Siegel coach Alan Bush joining John Dinkins on the other side. Stay with us.